How did Christianity spread so far, so fast, and so successfully in our first centuries? Given that Christians were bitterly opposed and often brutally persecuted by secular and religious authorities alike, how did the gospel of Jesus Christ conquer the Roman Empire? With the only weapon Christ gave us, love. But it seems impossible to the world that human affairs can be governed by love when only law will do. Every society in history has had some form of law with which to organize human life and regulate behavior, lest chaos and anarchy make our lives solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. But even though law is necessary for human life to be well ordered, law is not sufficient for human life to flourish, because the final guarantee of every legal system is coercion by force. After all, laws which are not or cannot be enforced are worse than useless, as we have discovered on the campuses of our elite universities in recent days. And so a society governed by law must use force in response to lawlessness, to see that laws are observed and that lawbreakers are punished. And that is true even in Christian societies. But in the pre-Christian world, force was often the only reality common to every human society, including too often, even within families. But as history teaches us, force cannot nurture or sustain the human spirit. Consider, before the light of the gospel filled the world, murder was too often used to settle both personal and political disputes, and unjust war for the sake of taking what belonged to someone else was all too common. And these things are still true where the light of the gospel does not yet shine. Women and children were treated as property, and sadly, too often still are. And slavery was regarded as an essential foundation of economic and political life, as in some form is still the case in too many places. Poverty and illness were widely regarded as signs of divine punishment for personal or ancestral misdeeds. And there was little or no sense of obligation to assist those in need, to protect the weak, or to see each person as having intrinsic dignity worthy of respect by all others. Then into this darksome world came the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, who sent his disciples to the ends of the earth to proclaim the good news of salvation and to announce the inbreaking into human history of the kingdom of God. And at the heart of Christ's gospel is the revelation of divine love for every person. God is love, and every human person without exception is made in the image and likeness of God to share the love of God forever in such a way that unto the ages of ages, everyone who by grace through faith is made a new creation in and by Jesus Christ will participate world without end in the divine nature of God the Son, and be changed from glory into glory at a joyful wedding feast that never ends. And how do Christians teach the world this extraordinary and liberating truth about human nature and eternal destiny? Hear the Lord Jesus in the gospel today. As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. This I command you, love one another. And that is why St. John wrote in his first letter, which we read today, whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. In this way, the love of God was revealed to us, God sent his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son as the expiation for our sins. In our second lesson and gospel today, the word love recurs 18 times. And each of those words in the Greek original is a form of agape, a term which comes into Latin as caritas, and thence into English first as charity, and then as love. This kind of love differs from three other forms of love that we all experience. Agape is different than storge, or affection, different than philia, or friendship, and different than eros, or romantic desire. Those natural loves are essential to our lives, but agape is something both higher and deeper. Agape love is unconditional and self-sacrificing, and this is the love of the Father for the Son and of the Son for the Father. Agape love in human life is not a natural occurrence. It is a gift of divine grace that is poured into us at our baptism. Although agape love is manifested in deeds of charity, it differs profoundly from natural human kindness, which even pagans practice. Only those who are born again by water and the Holy Spirit receive three supernatural gifts that cannot be learned or acquired by our own effort. These are the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is agape, charity, love. The evidence of agape is found not primarily in our words, but above all in our deeds. And so the Savior says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. This is my commandment, love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you, and this I command you, love one another." Friends, this is how the gospel overcame the darkness of the ancient world and conquered the Roman Empire. Love. Christians lived according to the teaching of Christ, and so hearts and minds were changed. And more than that, the universal scope of the church was the first time in history that tribe, race, sex, wealth, and social position were not the sources of permanent divisions in human life. And in the church, a vision of a truly universal human nature and human dignity began to take shape and was shared with the world by the church's universal mission to the nations. We see that in the first lesson today, where we read that Simon Peter was guided by God to the home of who should have been a hated enemy, a Roman centurion named Cornelius. We read in that lesson that everyone in his home had an experience like Pentecost, which signified to Peter and all the Christians of Jewish origin that the eternal plan of salvation includes Gentile humanity. Peter said, "In truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him." And then Peter added, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit even as we have?" He ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. From the beginning of the church's life, the baptism not just of individuals, but of entire families, including infant children and household servants, was practiced as a sign of the completely gratuitous grace of God. And as lives were changed, whether one person or one family at a time, so too were whole societies changed, which then formed an entire civilization shaped by the gospel, Christendom. That is how the gospel triumphed in the Roman Empire, and how the gospel spreads in every time and place. And God's word and sacraments are always accompanied by works of charity. But while Christians tend the sick and welcome the immigrant and care for the orphan and the widow and visit the imprisoned and teach the ignorant and clothe the naked and feed the hungry, the church is not another social service or non-governmental agency like the International Red Cross or Doctors Without Borders or the UN. No, the church is the bride of Christ, brought into being from his pierced side when blood and water flowed out to the world as a fountain of divine love and sacramental life for the salvation of the entire human race. On the cross, Christ showed us the fulfillment of the law and the full measure of love. And in this way, he revealed the perfect law of love, in which there is no coercion or force, but only the total gift of self, leading to the consummation of perfect joy. And the church's mission is to invite the entire human race to receive the grace of salvation through friendship. Friendship with Jesus Christ, a friendship born of faith, hope, and love. By dying on the cross, the Lord Jesus became the expiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for those of the whole world. And by rising from the dead, Christ redeemed us from the grave and revealed the new life of grace by which we share even now in his victory over sin and death. Christ Jesus is our Passover and our peace. He is the Lamb once slain who lives forever. And the good news of salvation is that only in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, does every human person find his true dignity and her eternal destiny in love. Friends, God be praised. Christos Anesti, Alithos Anesti. Christ is risen, truly he is risen. Alleluia, alleluia.